Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Sports Kingdom, I discuss Ryan Braun and the Biogenesis case. Matt Ryan's 5-year extension, the British Open, Red Sox extending Dustin Pedroia's contract, the NASCAR Sprint Cup standings, and lastly, Madison Square Garden. Don't go anywhere because Sports Kingdom starts right now.
Let's do it.
welcome to Sports Kingdom. I'm your host, Julian Bravo the King, and today is July 28, 2013, and I am here with myself. So the number to the show today is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733 if you want to call in and talk with your host, Julian Bravo the King. The email to the show is skbtradio@gmail.com, and the chat room is open, so love to hear the interaction while the show goes on. On a few other notes, a lot of things have been going on during this summer, so I apologize if the Week in Review hasn't been airing as of late, to continue on about the Week in Review. I said a couple weeks back that the Week in Review would have its very last show. This might be the very last show with the Week in Review. I'm not too sure. Might have another one next week. So, you just got to make sure you stay updated on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at @sports_kingdom. You can find us on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com/sportskingdombtr. There's been some delays with the launch of Weekly News Live. We are set to launch at every Saturday, so we're still having some delays. So it comes to the reason as to why we are here today, airing the Week in Review, and we're going to talk about a good load of topics. In case you're wondering, our former co-host Sean the Dr. Elmer has decided to launch his own show, so we wish him the best of luck with his future endeavors. Although we are expected to have a brand new co-host coming up very soon, very excited to have him on. It's going to be a big surprise, as I think we'll be in for one good treat out of this brand new co-host. Our other co-host, Albert Bainbridge, Big Al, was unable to make the show today, so I'm here today as we might as well get started. So, today, we're going to first begin off by talking about Ryan Braun, the Biogenesis case. Well, this has been ongoing for a while. This has really been ongoing for a while. Ryan Braun lied to the media, lied to the Brewers organization, and even, in fact, lied to quarterback Aaron Rodgers, stating that he did not dope. We do have a live caller, so I'm going to bring him live on there right now. 860, you're live on the air.
How's it going?
Well, how's it going, Nate?
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah, I was just talking about the Ryan Braun and Biogenesis case, how he lied to the Brewers organization, lied to Major League Baseball, lied to the media, lied to quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, saying that he did not dope, which now led to being suspended for the rest of the year. So what are your thoughts on Ryan Braun being suspended for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, this is why I don't follow baseball pretty much anymore. It's just been a dirty game the last, 10 to 15 years. And, I mean, the whole thing with Alex Rodriguez, too, and now, Ryan Braun. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this guy should just be banned from baseball forever. I mean, I don't know. It's just baseball is a joke to me now, just with all these steroids and this HGH and this Biogenesis thing. This stuff's never going to end. And every day it's a soap opera with Alex Rodriguez. I'm just waiting for the full list of people to be unveiled and, get rid of these people and get these guys out of the game of baseball, because it's a disgrace watching this stuff every day.
Yeah. This is Nate from Inside Wrestling. So, Nate, if you want to promote your show, you can go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I just not doing a show again this week. But, I promoted my show. We did a TNA show, Dixie Carter. So I thought that was funny. But, I don't know. Really nothing going on with my show this week. So, but, you know, I listened to your interview you did, a pretty good interview that you did on Friday. So, with Bob Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed having Bob Ryan on the show, but it was a great interview, and now we have to move forward and so let's get back to Ryan Braun and the Biogenesis case. But yeah, Ryan Braun, people I feel shouldn't compare this to the case of Lance Armstrong, because Ryan Braun only convicted a few people, not a whole bunch of people, as similar as to what Lance Armstrong did. Ryan Braun, he's been a good baseball player for many years. Done nice things in the community over in Milwaukee, but yeah, it's just unfortunate how this all ensues now with Ryan Braun. We could talk about the other players involved in the Biogenesis case, such as Alex Rodriguez, Francisco Cervelli, Nelson Cruz, Bartolo Colon, you name it. Bartolo Colon actually has been having a really good season with the Oakland A's, but many people are saying, oh, well, he did steroids, and he doesn't really deserve to be on to be on the top of the game where he's at right now. Now let me ask you this, Nate. This is actually a poll question. Should Alex Rodriguez serve the lifetime ban for Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think he should. I mean, it's just a joke. It's a distraction to the rest of the team. I think he should just be gone for baseball. He just finds his way to get into trouble. And,
I really believe he doesn't belong in Major League Baseball anymore. Lots of hate, lots of adversity, lots of animosity, especially between general manager Brian Cashman and Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez pretty much cheated his way up through the ranks. He started doing steroids back in the late 90s, and it was where he started. So he's just not in a comfy position right now because a lot of people are against Alex Rodriguez, and Alex Rodriguez still has this mega contract with the New York Yankees, and Alex Rodriguez, he hasn't really shown any good towards the New York Yankees organization. He's been kind of falling down, so he's trying to rehab. He's been trying to rehab as of late. He's been trying to get his name back into line, but with the Biogenesis case still in the process, there's some people within the organization, some people outside the organization that feel cynical over Alex Rodriguez returning. But yeah. Yeah, that's my thoughts, though, on Ryan Braun, the Biogenesis case. We might as well move on now to Matt Ryan's five-year extension. Matt Ryan, the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, recently agreed to a five-year extension worth, I believe, $103.5 million. So lots of money here, lots of money that's close to the annual average quarterbacks in the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco received. So Matt Ryan, he did pretty good last year. I thought he has best year last year, his career year. But now I think moving forward, he's gonna have to prove himself as a winner in the playoffs. You know, the Falcons defense may blow, and their rushing game may blow as well. But Matt Ryan's gonna have to prove that he can lead this organization deep into the playoffs, and most importantly, the Super Bowl. So let me ask you, Nate, what do you think of the Falcons extending Matt Ryan's contract to 5 years?
No, it's good for the Falcons to do it. I mean, he had a very good season last year. It's just the Falcons seem like a team that just can't get over the hump in the playoffs. And I mean, hopefully they can, you know, add some puzzle pieces, you know, on the defense event and help out. But you know, it's good to lock up a very good quarterback for the future. And hopefully, I mean, the Falcons, they're always in contention, it seems like, but then once the playoff time rolls, it just seems like something happens. And but yeah, it's good for the Falcons. And I think this team, I mean, they gotta do something, make a deep run or get into the Super Bowl, I think, in the next 2-3 years, or fans will just start giving up on this team, because they have all the potential in the world. Is just, you know, trying to get those right components on the defensive side, I think, for Atlanta.
Yeah. You look at their secondary, and you look at their up-and-coming star, Sean Witherspoon. Now, those guys are trying to stand out in the league, and they're most importantly trying to make their best contribution to the Atlanta Falcons. So, the defense was a real strong weakness last year, and they're really going to have to improve. Like you said, Nate, they have a lot of potential. They have a lot of potential to reach as far as the Super Bowl, but their defense is going to have to step up. Their rushing game's also going to have to step up. They have Steven Jackson coming over from the St. Louis Rams now, had a very good career in St. Louis, but it's now 30, so there may be a concern. They have a young running back that they gave some special time to last year, Jacquizz Rodgers. This might be the year where he gets to prove himself and become a major star for the Atlanta Falcons. So as for Matt Ryan, once again, he's going to have to prove he can be a playoff winner. Let's go back down the memory lane. But last year, Matt Ryan outdueled the Seattle Seahawks secondary in the playoff game between the Seahawks and the Falcons. I remember that game. I'm sure a lot of fans remember that game when Russell Wilson and the whole rest of the Seahawks offense made a huge comeback and almost advanced on to the NFC Championship game between the San Francisco 49ers. But the Falcons were able to sustain, and once again, Matt Ryan was able to outduel the Seattle Seahawks secondary. It's just an incredible secondary they have over in Seattle, within the likes of Sherman, Chancellor, Thomas, and a whole bunch of others on that defense. And I think they're a very special team this upcoming year, the Seattle Seahawks, although getting back to the Falcons and Matt Ryan, they're going to have to prove they're worthy of being legitimate contenders for the Super Bowl. I think that's the next step in the direction. They advanced on to the NFC Championship game last year, so there's no reason not to advance on to the Super Bowl this upcoming year. So we'll have to wait and see how things unfold. These are don't forget the prime years of Matt Ryan now. I thought the Falcons made a a great choice in giving him an extension now, because once again he proved himself last year, had his best year last year with career numbers, and if they didn't lock him up, then he could have been one of the biggest guys out on the market next off season. So it was a very good lockup. They have their offensive coordinator come back, Dirk Koetter, and I thought, in my opinion, complimented Matt Ryan's game, and I think can compliment Matt Ryan's game once again. So we'll see how it all plays out. They have Tony Gonzalez coming back. Don't forget. I can ask you, Nate, but what do you think about Tony Gonzalez coming back? And do you think he can bring another season with such a major impact?
Yeah, I mean he's a solid veteran. So I mean, some of the younger guys on the team, he can, you know, show good leadership too. So I mean, he can help them out too. So yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, he can, you know, play a major role for Atlanta's success coming up. But like you were saying before about Seattle, yeah, a lot of people they say this team might be the surprise team next year, and between them and Denver for a Super Bowl shot. So, but no, I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, the Falcons, it just seems like, you know, hopefully they can get over that hump and get to the Super Bowl next year. Should be, they're always an interesting team, the Falcons, every season. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I think they're taking the right steps in the direction, but they're going to have to prove they're better than the Seahawks, because Seahawks sure have a better defense than the Falcons. They sure have a better rush game than the Falcons, with the running back Marshawn Lynch. And they, of course, have the golden boy now, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson just had such an incredible season. I don't see why not he replicates another incredible season. So now there's a lot of other contenders, don't forget, in the NFC. So it's going to be interesting. By the way, you can catch our NFL season preview coming up in August. I'll give an exact date very soon, but we're going to have a very special show where we'll be previewing the upcoming NFL season. Should be very interesting indeed when teams are now reporting to camp and the Hall of Fame inductions are coming up very soon. Just a lot of exciting things coming up very soon in the NFL. It's about time the NFL has arrived, because there hasn't been much news in the month of July. So it's great that fans are going to get to see once again some NFL action. Because it's obvious the NFL is the best sport in America. So and it's the best sport ahead of the NBA. So the fans are getting what they want by seeing some NFL action coming up. So, all right. By the way, the number to the show is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733 if you want to chat up with me and Nate. All right. So, Nate, I'm not too sure if you're a fan of golf or not, but we are going to talk about the British Open from last week. Phil Mickelson won his fifth major championship ever, and let me actually play an audio clip of his birdie putt, which led him towards the victory at the British Open.
was a day that I'll remember my entire life. It was one of the best rounds of golf I've ever played, and to be able to share this moment with Amy and my children, Amanda, Sophia, and Evan, to be able to share it with my main man, Bones, Steve Loy, Butch Harmon, who are here, it just makes this moment even more special. And I want to thank them for the support they've given me throughout their career. I want to thank the technicians at Callaway who helped make this win possible. I want to thank the R&A for the great job they did, and the membership here at Muirfield for setting up such a wonderful golf course, a very demanding, difficult test. And I just could not be more proud to be your champion. This is a win that I never knew in my career if I would be equipped, if I would have the shots, if I would have the opportunity to win a tournament here. And to do it, to play some of the best golf, probably the best round of my career, and break through and capture this claret jug, is some of the most fulfilling, probably the most fulfilling moment of my career, because it was something I wasn't sure I'd be able to ever do. And I want to thank everybody for the opportunity, and I want to thank everybody for the support and for supporting this great tournament, and I'm very proud to be your champion. Thank you.
Lefty was able to break through, and he was able to win his first major championship since 2010. So let me ask you, Nate, I'm not sure if you're a fan of golf or not, but what do you think of the victory?
I mean, he came back from like five shots down in the final day and shot a 66, so congratulations. I mean, I remember that U.S. Open back in, I think it was 2006 or 7, where he blew it in the final hole. But, I mean, yeah, winning a major for, you know, Phil, the big lefty, as they call him. Yeah, especially coming back from five shots down on a final day to win and shoot 66. So congratulations to Phil on his win. And, you know, hopefully he can get some momentum, move up, maybe get that top spot, you know, in the rankings for PGA.
Yeah, totally. I saw it coming. I saw it coming, this victory, because Phil has had all this momentum this very year. He had the momentum in the Masters tournament, but fell short. The U.S. Open championship, he's never won before. He struggled, but was able to come back into the British Open, was able to come back within the final round and score the lowest score in the British Open since 1997. So pretty impressive by Phil Mickelson, Lefty, as most people want to call him. And a great victory for Phil. And like you said, Nate, hopefully he could possibly come away with another victory at the PGA Championship.
Yeah, especially doing in front of his family, too, his wife and his kids, especially when his wife was going through cancer and all that years past. So it's good to have his family there, too. So it's a special day for him and his family. So, you know, congrats.
Yeah, of course. But, all right, let's get going to Dustin Pedroia. Dustin Pedroia, just a couple days ago, signed a six-year extension worth $110 million. Of course, Dustin deserves this contract because he's had a career year, in my opinion. He's just not exactly because don't forget he was the AL MVP back in 2008 and sure had a career year then, but he has sure been doing very good this year for the Boston Red Sox. I mentioned during the interview with Bob Ryan how good the Boston Red Sox have been doing. So you know, of course, I feel Dustin Pedroia deserves his contract going up until he's 38 years old. So, I think the Boston Red Sox made a wise decision of giving him 6 years, because I think it's just crazy if you give a player beyond 6 years nowadays, because you look at the crazy contracts the NHL gives out to players, and the big chunk of years Alfonso Soriano has had on his contract and was just recently traded to the New York Yankees. So, and by the way, you can catch our MLB trade deadline show this upcoming Wednesday. We're going to have on a very special guest. He's from the MLB Talk 101. His name is Jack McNeil. Knows his baseball very well, so we're going to have a really good show coming up this Wednesday. But, getting back to Dustin Pedroia, let me ask you, Nate, what do you think of the Boston Red Sox giving Dustin Pedroia this contract extension?
Oh, no, it's good for Boston. I mean, this guy's like basically like the heart and soul of the team. He's kind of like the captain of the team, you know. So, I mean, locking him for, you know, 6 years, $100 million, a lot of money, but, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, this guy plays his, you know, guts out. You know, he's the heart and soul of the team. I mean, now the only thing you wonder about now with Robinson Cano coming up, what kind of contract is he going to demand? So he's going to look for some big money, more money than Dustin Pedroia. So, I mean, that might hurt the Yankees offering Cano some money. But, no, I mean, Pedroia, he's a really good player, and congrats to him and all the Red Sox fans to lock him up for 6 years, and he could play his rest of his career with the Red Sox, you know. So.
Yeah, and like you said, he's the heart and soul of the Boston Red Sox. The only players that remain from the 2007 World Series team is Dustin Pedroia, David Ortiz, and Jacoby Ellsbury. And speaking of David Ortiz, I want to ask you, Nate, did you happen to catch a highlight last night of
yeah,
David Ortiz?
I wanted to see that ball three pitch that was called a strike. I mean, but other than that, yeah, I saw him smashing the phone with the bat. He almost hit Pedroia. I mean, yeah, Ortiz, he just went off a little bit of like a roid rage or something, but I don't know if that really exists. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was only a one strike, and then he took two bad pitches and swung and missed. So, I mean, you can't blame the ump for just one bad pitch out of the three, but – yeah, just madness from Ortiz. Look for him probably get suspended or fined or something. He's got to get at least a suspension out of it, a game or something. Because I mean, that's uncalled for. He almost hurt his own player in the dugout too and stuff. But yeah, it was kind of hilarious,
yeah.
But bad in a way too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he almost hit Dustin Pedroia and Robert Flores of ESPN summed it up best, but. But the Red Sox just gave Dustin Pedroia this mega contract, and you know he almost hit the heart and soul of the Boston Red Sox. But you know David Ortiz and many players can get into that rage sometimes over an umpire, Tim Timmons, the home plate umpire of last night's game between the Red Sox and Baltimore Orioles, got on the nerves of David Ortiz, so it happens, but I think his rage took it a little too far.
Even Pedroia was a little upset with him, too. He was almost like yelling at him, too, when he was coming back towards the dugout. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, just uncalled for, unnecessary.
Yeah, totally. But let's continue talking about Dustin Pedroia. He is a 303 career hitter, has many, many more years to come with the Boston Red Sox. Like I was mentioning before, but Dustin Pedroia, David Ortiz and Jacoby Ellsbury are the only ones that remain from the 2007 World Series team. Let's talk about Jacoby Ellsbury for a second. But Jacoby Ellsbury is set to become a free agent this upcoming offseason. So many are speculating as to whether or not the Red Sox are going to keep him or not. He's been having a really good season. Or he hasn't been having a really good season, but he's been having a good season overall. He's hitting above 300 and is hitting some good numbers, especially the number of bases he's stolen. So he's stolen, 38 bases this year. So and Jacoby Ellsbury, he's really proven that he wants to stick around. He wants to stick around with Boston Red Sox. Last year didn't have so much of a good season. So this year he's trying to redeem himself and do better, which he is. But he hasn't been matching up to his career numbers back in 2011, where he hit 32 home runs and 105 RBIs. He only has 4 home runs and 32 RBIs for this season. So, many will speculate as to whether or not they're going to keep Jacoby Ellsbury or not. But overall, though, I'm glad that the Boston Red Sox are keeping Dustin Pedroia. Speaking of the Boston Red Sox, they can hopefully make a deep playoff run this year, because I believe they've been playing very consistent throughout the first half and now the beginning of the second half. They've been just continuing on to play relentless baseball. And if you go back and listen to the interview with Bob Bryan, he'll say they can do it as long as they stay poised. You also look at their other players, Jose Iglesias. He's been having a breakout season. No one expected him to come up and be a major contributor for the Boston Red Sox when he was only a 251 hitter down the minor league. So, it's good that he's really proving himself, and so is Nava. Nava was selected into this year's All-Star game. So, he's proving worthy that he should be in the outfield, and so should Shane Victorino. Shane Victorino came off a very mediocre season at the Philadelphia Phillies last year, including Los Angeles Dodgers, and has been able to turn himself around and at least have a better season as compared to last season. So, just to wrap it up on Dustin Pedroia and the Boston Red Sox, I totally see them making a deep playoff run this year and having nice times to come along with Dustin Pedroia. I still feel he has more of his game to come. So, all right. Let's get on to NASCAR and talk about the Sprint Cup standings. The Sprint Cup is coming closer and closer, so we're just going to discuss and analyze the Sprint Cup standings as of right now. As of right now, Jimmy Johnson is in first place. He has 4 wins this season, and he's just been inevitably the best NASCAR driver this very year. It totally hurt him last year when he lost to Brett Keselowski, but he's been able to come back this year and pick up four wins. And now let's talk about one driver in particular, Nate, but Danica Patrick. She hasn't won a single race yet, and you know, she's still adjusting. So what do you think of her struggles lately? All right, we've just lost Nate, so now I'm just going to take over and talk about the NASCAR Sprint Cup standings. Once again, the number to the show is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733. All right, so, yeah, getting back to Danica Patrick, my thoughts. You know, she's still adjusting. She's still adjusting to being a NASCAR driver and competing with the men. I think she could win one or maybe two races down the stretch, but overall, though, I feel like she's still adjusting. Looking at other drivers. Dale Earnhardt Jr., even though he hasn't won a race yet, he's fifth in the standings and could possibly redeem himself down the stretch and put himself within the top three. So, and if you look at the top three, or if you continue. Look at the top five. Kevin Harvick's in fourth. Carl Edwards is in third. Carl Edwards, he does pretty well every year, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with him. Same goes for Kevin Harvick. But let's talk about Brad Keselowski, winner of the Sprint Cup last year. Hasn't won a race this year. Now he's trying to come around. He has 529 points, but hasn't won. Hasn't done as superior as he did last year. And that's all I can really say. But once again, many people. I've been talking about Danica Patrick, her struggles as of late. Once again, though, I think she's just adjusting, and she could win a race or two, come down the stretch. All right, so I'm going to bring Nate back on. Nate, how's it going?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I had another call on the other line. Sorry.
That's all right. So, we're just gonna move forward to Madison Square Garden being evicted. According to CNN, Madison Square Garden is from the Manhattan Community Board is going to be extended their lease for 10 more years, but then is going to be forced to find another location. I've been through Penn Station many times, but when I heard this about Madison Square Garden being evicted, I mean, come on, this is Madison Square Garden is one of the most historical places you can go to in sports. I've been to Madison Square Garden plenty of times. I've seen the Knicks games. I've seen the Ranger games. I've seen it all except for some of the special fights. Now, let me ask you, Nate. What do you think about this? How could you force the garden to find another home?
Yeah, I mean, they just did it like a renovation project. So I'm I don't know. It's just nuts. Like, where are the Knicks and Rangers gonna play? Was a 10-year lease or something? They got 10 more years.
Yeah.
And then did they say like how long they're gonna be out of Madison Square Garden so they can do the? I guess they have to do work on Penn Station. I think that's the whole thing. So did it say anything about how long they have to renovate Penn Station or whatever?
Yeah. I was just about to mention, but Penn Station has been renovated since 1969. So the board wants to renovate Penn Station. Penn Station is above Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden is pretty much the basement, pretty much beneath Penn Station, so they wanna force Madison Square Garden out and just renovate the entire whole of Penn Station.
Yeah, but is that do they want to permanently close Madison Square Garden, or I don't know, like was that the?
No. They just want them to find another location.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they could do. I mean, they probably would have to move to maybe, I don't know, it's like the New Jersey Devils Arena or something close by to for a couple of years until they get this whole project done with Penn Station. But, I mean, you figure they got to work something out with them. Then they got 10 years to do it, but time flies, so they better think of something quick because that 10 years is going to fly by pretty quick.
Yeah, most definitely. I think they'll just find a new place somewhere in New York. Although it's unfortunate that they're only gonna stick around for 10 more years within the centerpiece. It's just convenient for many people to just hop on the train and then be right there at the Garden, but unfortunately now the Garden is no longer going to be at the centerpiece of transportation, and it's going to have to move elsewhere in New York, in which people are going to have to probably take a train or go by car. And if people take the train, then they'll most likely have to take the subway. But yeah, I mean. Let's just talk more about this. But Nia, what's this mean for the Knicks and the Rangers?
Well, I mean, I know the Islanders are moving in a few years to Brooklyn. I mean, maybe they can work some kind of agreement with them where the Knicks can move into Brooklyn's arena for a few years or something.
I just want to correct you, but the Islanders are moving into Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's this whole project with you know, the Madison Square Garden thing, maybe they have to move into a shared space with the Islanders and the Brooklyn's arena, the Barclays Center, you know, in 10 years or something. They have to work something out. I mean, they can't build a new arena, so this is going to be a chaos thing. I know the AHL team is with the Whale in Hartford in Connecticut. I don't think they're going to relocate the Rangers to Connecticut for a few years, but that'd be good. They want to get hockey back in Connecticut. I know they want to be the Whalers back, so maybe that'll bring some excitement for the XL Center in Connecticut. And I can go watch some games. So, yeah, this is gonna be. I think this is gonna be a mess. But like I said, you got 10 years to figure something out. And it's gonna be a mess for the Knicks and the Rangers, I think, this whole situation.
Yeah, it's especially a mess when they just renovated Madison Square Garden. So it's gonna be tough, like you said, to find another location. I just believe they're never going to move out of New York. I don't believe they're going to go to Prudential Center nor Connecticut. But I just don't know what's up with the Manhattan Community Board because 36-0 voted for a 10-year lease to be extended for Madison Square Garden. in Manhattan and then be forced to move out. So, I mean, this is just a developing story, so we may hear more. But as for now, just by hearing the news, it's crazy. It's crazy to believe that Madison Square Garden is going to be evicted. But all right. Well, we have a few minutes left on the show, Nate. So, you want to talk about any other topics that have gone on throughout this week?
No, I was gonna suggest a wrestling thing, but I don't know. I don't want to get into it. It's too much outside the box of WWE. I was gonna bring up about John Cena and Daniel Bryan situation. If you want to talk about for a few minutes.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with these matches with, like, Vince McMahon's making basically Daniel Bryan going through all these matches on this past week, and now next week's got to fight Kane. I'm wondering, like, somehow if they can entail with John Cena's role as he's being basically the puppet master to Vince McMahon, pulling the strings, and maybe we can get eventually a heel turn for John Cena at SummerSlam this coming moving forward. I don't know. I think it's a good shot for Cena to turn heel finally. I know everybody wanted for The Rock at WrestleMania, but I think it would be interesting if they can bring Cena heel turn at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everyone wants, but in reality, it doesn't seem likely. But, hey, Nate, you want to share where people can find your show?
Yeah, Inside Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio, and you can download it on iTunes. I mean, I think iTunes is really good for my show because I get a lot of archive listeners. You know, in the last few weeks, probably about 600 to 700 archive listeners. So I think a lot of people are downloading it on iTunes. So, you know, thanks for everybody out there for downloading the show.
Yeah, and you want to also share where they can find your show on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, it's Inside Wrestling78 on Twitter. Or Inside Wrestle78 on Twitter.
All right, well, Nate, I want to thank you for joining the show today.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, you know, you have a nice rest of the week, and hopefully SummerSlam gets a good build-up, you know, and get some good matches. And, you know, moving forward with the whole baseball thing, I can't stand hearing about Alex Rodriguez's Biogenesis crap, you know. And September can't come soon enough for hockey. I just want to get back into the NHL season. So, but anyways, you take care. I'll talk to you again.
All right. See you, man.
Yep. Bye.
Yeah, so that was Nate from Inside Wrestling. Alluding to what he was saying about baseball. I just hope Bud Selig and Major League Baseball can resolve this and most of all have fans continue on caring more about the game itself. And don't forget, this is coming down to the stretch now. You got 2 months left of baseball, and then it's October. It's October, the playoffs. So, despite of Ryan Braun and the Biogenesis case, I think baseball fans have something positive to look forward to, which is baseball coming down to the stretch now when it's all important, and then October, the playoffs. So, all right. I've been your host, Julian Brower, the King, today. I want to thank our listeners for joining. You can re-listen to this episode on iTunes and Stitcher. Once again, go back and listen to the interview with Bob Bryan. I thought it was a fantastic interview. Got to ask Bob Bryan some wonderful questions, so go back and listen to that. Although moving forward, you can check out Sports Kingdom again this upcoming Wednesday with me and Jack McNeil from the MLB Talk 101. Knows a lot of baseball, so it's a good show to tune in for. All right. Once again, thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Peace out.